Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. Today we're talking about friends. Having a little help from our friends. Recently I've been reviewing a book I'd read a while ago, but going back through it, it's called Unloading the Overload. And this is a chapter, what I'm going to share today is based on a chapter in that book. Unloading the overload. There are times in life, even in the Christian life, when, believe it or not, we feel overloaded. And we have plenty of people in the scriptures who felt that way. Elijah, Moses, and many others, perhaps even Jesus himself, right? So we shouldn't feel too guilty when we feel overloaded. But what do we do about it? And how do we make sure that our times of quiet with God help us with the overload? And today, we're going to look at this particular issue of how our friends make a difference in this area. So we know that we're not meant to function alone, right? Genesis 2:18, God noted it was not good that the man should be alone, and it's not good for a woman to be alone, is it either? Isolation's never healthy. Life's pressures get much worse when we're trying to handle them on our own. What's that old saying? A problem shared is a problem halved. And that goes for the Christian life as well as anybody else. Various things can make friendship difficult. Getting close to people can be challenging if your upbringing was one where there was abuse or a lack of intimacy or vulnerability in your relationships with your siblings or your parents. Perhaps your family was dysfunctional more than most, and that's made it difficult for you to form deep friendships. We need to acknowledge that for some people, forming good, healthy friendships is hard. But whether it's hard or not, we've got to work at it, haven't we? We've got to work at our friendships. We've got to develop them because we're not designed to live life in isolation. We mustn't settle for that, even though in some ways it's easier. Of course, in some ways it's easier, but in some ways being isolated actually makes it much harder. Let me read from the book here. When there is an excess of isolation and loneliness over intimacy and deep friendship in our lives, we are in overload territory. Is that where you are right now, in overload territory? Well, there's good news. There's good news because there's much that God's word shows us and teaches us to help with this. Let's start, as we probably always should, with Jesus himself. In Mark chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, he chooses his 12. He calls them apostles, and it says that they were to be with him and to be sent out to proclaim the message and have authority to cast out demons. What do you think of the significance of that phrase, to be with him? And some of that's to do with them being with him so they could learn from him, but isn't there a bit more to it than that? Quoting from the book, I believe that his calling of them to be with him was not just to have their manpower, but also their friend power. His call to them so that they could be with him was a separate, distinct, and primary purpose. He recognized the need for a network of emotional support for himself as he confronted the opposition and challenges ahead. There would be times when their human presence would make the emotional difference he needed. I love the idea that Jesus' underlying purpose was to develop his followers into becoming his friends. We see this clearly in John 15. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you, in verse 12. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Such richness and depth in this passage. He sees his followers as his friends. He wants them to be his friends. They are, yes, his disciples, and yes, they have a mission to carry out. But it's more than just that. They are to be his friends. A friend, by definition, is someone that needs a bit of you and you need a bit of. And so Jesus is not saying, he's saying this is not a one-way relationship here. It's two-way. I need you, and I guess you need me. And I think this is very significant for us handling the overload in our lives and making the most of our times of quiet with God. In prayer, we are approaching someone who wants to be our friend, in fact, who sees himself as our friend. Now, we may say, well, that's all fine for the disciples. They were there with him in the upper room. I mean, when he said to them, you are my friends, they saw him. They heard him say that. They had been with him for three and a half years. I mean, they were there. That's not my experience, because Jesus is not with me now. He isn't there to reassure me of this personally and physically. But I think we're forgetting that Jesus said that he wasn't going to leave his friends orphaned. He said, I'm going to leave you with the Counselor, with the Paraclete, with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, your situation with the Spirit will be better off than if I stuck around. Why is that? Well, lots of reasons. So let's think about a few. Back in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. And then this amazing phrase, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Make our home with them. And then he says in verse 26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He's saying the Spirit is going to come and we're going to live in you. Ephesians chapter 1 says the Spirit is the seal of our salvation, the guarantor of our inheritance. And of course, in Romans chapter 8, we know that the Spirit that lives within us is the Spirit of Christ. So we have our friend with us at all times as the Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And what does this do for us? It means that we have our friend with us to give us advice. The Spirit advises us. We have our friend with us at all times to support us, to be our constant companion, to be with us through ups and downs, to be with us to reassure us of the unconditional nature of God's love for us. We have the Spirit with us at all times to be our defender, to tell us the truth at times. The Spirit operates in a lot of different ways in us and on us and for us, but at least in one sense, the Spirit operates like a friend and fulfills what Jesus desired for all of his followers, that they would be his friends. How do we develop this friendship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus? Well, let me suggest three things that they mention in the book. I'm sure you could add some more, and I'd like to know what you think will help us to have this kind of friendship. But let me suggest these three things. Firstly, honesty. No friendship works if there's not a good degree of honesty. To quote, we cannot expect friendships to grow if we cannot be open with the other person. This does not mean being rude or insensitive. Some people think that being honest means you can tell the other person all their faults. That's covering our own rudeness with the label of honesty. Honesty has more to do with being able to communicate without hidden agendas, so that We are transparent. What you see is what you get. And this makes us consider that we need to be honest with God. No pretense, no trying to put on a super spiritual outer mask when there's turmoil inside. Being honest is the first part of friendship with the Spirit. Secondly, flexibility. Again, quoting from the book, maintaining a friendship involves us in a recognizing that over time, aspects of the friendship are likely to change. Our friend may marry or have a child or move interstate or develop other friendships. If we cannot accept these normal changes and accept that they will inevitably affect the way our friendship works, we will simply become petulant and close down any friendship that changes. We have to be able to accept the other person's additional relationships without jealousy. Real friendship is not ownership. It is a sharing of lives within limits. Now, the parallels here don't all apply to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to marry or have a child or move away. But things do change because we change. And as we change, as we grow, as we mature, as we go through different experiences, our view of ourselves and our view of God shifts. And so it's important for us to be flexible as we think about our friendship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. It's important to update our friendship and not look back and say, well, when I was a baby Christian, that was all perfect and just nice. And, you know, Jesus was wonderful and life was good and I was close to him and it was easy. You can't go back there because there were some things about that relationship that were immature and perhaps even naive. Be willing to keep deepening and changing in your friendship with the Spirit. Honesty and flexibility are key. And the third thing is empathy. To quote from the book, genuine friendships require of us the capacity to put ourselves in the other person's shoes, to feel for them, and to be able to communicate this level of caring to them. If we have this, we will be supportive when our support is needed, and we will provide practical help when it is appropriate, without being asked. Empathy. In our relationship with God, putting ourselves in His shoes, being willing to see things from His perspective, how He views us, how He views the lost, how He views those who are needy, how He views those we love, how He views this world. His Word is the key resource for this, because as we read and study His Word and the life of Jesus in particular, we get a better understanding of what matters to God and thus what, hopefully, should matter to us. So I've been thinking about this and what friends mean to me and what friends do for me and how I might think about what that means for my relationship with Jesus as my friend and the Holy Spirit. So I think when I'm unfocused, friends help me get back on track and get focused right. Friends help me not to overreact when difficult things happen or things that annoy me. Friends help to clarify my thinking. As I talk to them, they reflect back to me ideas and other perspectives, and that's what I'm thinking, and that's what that means. Friends give me strength when I can't carry my load on my own. And friends share my joys, which is a great thing. What about your friends? What do you value in them the most? And can you see a way in which God can be that kind of friend too? Through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Well, let me know what you think. I would love to know. So please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it publicly so that we can learn from one another. If you know anybody that would like this recording, then please pass the link on to them. And if you have time, leave me a review. And I pray that in your next time of quiet with God, you'll find your friendship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit deepening, growing, maturing. And you'll find it to be essential and valuable to helping you unload the overload. Until the next time, take care and God bless.